During the course of establishing the offerings, God said that there had to be a continual burnt offering that was continually before the Lord in the temple. It was always a burnt offering. It was always a perpetual fire kind of thing, and it was always a burnt offering. And there was daily peace offerings and daily meat offerings. And there was an order of offerings in the mornings and the evenings, etc. And so from God's standpoint, the sweet savor was always before him. Then the sin offerings, as an individual, individuals can offer the burnt offering, individuals can offer the peace offering, they can offer the meat offering, they can offer the sin offering and the trespass offering. For the individuals, the burnt offering and the meat offering and the trespass offering were all voluntary. It was the nation of Israel had certain structural requirements with regard to the offering in the temple or in the tabernacle. But the offerings for the burnt, for the individuals in those three were voluntary. When there was the votive offering and the free will offering, all part of the meal, the peace offering. And that's the one that prefigured communion, where all your needs are met. But it was voluntary. The sin offering and the trespass offering were compulsory. You had no choice in the matter. And again, to clarify something, the tithe that people paid, it was an indicator, it did several things. There was a tithe paid of all of the increase, whether it's money, whether it's goods, whatever it is, whatever, however your persona increased, a tithe of 10% was paid. And that showed that you were cut off. You had cut yourself off from the world system. I mean, because it's stupid to tithe in many instances, in most instances probably. But the tithe belonged to the priest to do with as he would. It was not no one else's business what the tithe was what it was done for. I mean, what was done with it in general terms. The trespass offering was what paid for the sanctuary, and it's an interest. All of the trespass offerings and the penalties with regard to sin and with regard to trespass were what paid for the operation of the temple. Now the idea is, obviously, is from the temple standpoint, it would work itself out of a job. Because if there was no trespass, there would be no funds or goods to have a temple. Do you understand? And so that's in effect what Christ did when he offered the perfect sacrifice. The temple had no more function because he had atoned for the trespass offering.
He put the temple out of business.
Put the temple out of business. By one offering he hath perfected forever them that are sanctified. Now, it's a pretty neat concept.
Yeah.
Now, as we've talked about so often, the great failing of the modern church, modern meaning since AD 135, is the failure to recognize that there is a difference between the sin offering and the trespass offering. The reason that's so critical in your mind, and the reason it's so critical in the understanding, is if you don't understand a difference, then you will be in a continual point of sadness is the best way to say it, or heaviness is a better way to say it, because you're going to continually trespass. You can't do anything but trespass. Therefore, as a small child, if you were in church and you heard all this thing about your sins are taken away forever, but yet you sin, then that's the reason most of you left the church. I mean, you could have all kinds of self-righteous reasons why you left, but your gut-level reason for leaving is that you didn't feel that you were righteous. And you will rationalize that by saying, well, I didn't believe in God anymore, or I didn't believe this was anymore. But the real reason that you left was that you didn't think you were righteous. You didn't think you deserved it. You couldn't do it. And then your mind automatically takes it from there and rationalizes, and then you become atheist, and then you become, you know, then you become agnostic, or then you become Buddhist or something. Or depressed.
It just didn't make any sense, even as a small child, how Jesus died 2,000 years ago because I lied to my mother this morning. You know, I remember. And not until you said that sin is what we are.
Okay, now that's why it's important. And most of you don't understand the distinction between the trespass offering and the sin offering. Now, why is it necessary to distinguish? Well, the first reason it's necessary to see it as two is because God sees it as two.
That's a real good reason.
Don't need any more reasons.
Yeah, I mean, that's number 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. But because our function in life, the reason that we exist, is to slowly but surely begin to see as God sees. You know, but now why does God see it as two? Why is there a difference between a sin offering and a trespass offering? The reason has to be, it's fundamental. You can't be tested unless there are trespasses. You can't understand your new identity unless there's a sin offering. If there wasn't two, then you would have the same religious concept. You would think that born again means that now you've gotten better. Do you understand it?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Something.
So the sin offering, I don't.
It has to do with being, sin is like outside of time in a way, but the trespasses are like we continually go as we move through moments and moments. We continually trespass.
Okay.
You know.
Let me give you the cliche that I used to use all the time on the radio, and it infuriated people. And I wished I could have explained it better to them then. But sin is not what you do. Sin is what you are. Okay. That has to be dealt with. Okay. If that's dealt with in its entirety, then the tree has been made good. The root, the axe has been laid to the root of the tree. Mm-hmm. Trespass is not what you are, it's what you do. Now, in a very real sense, the child under the law, the child that's not under the law, he's not. Remember, without the knowledge of, without the law, there is no sin. Do you understand that?
Yeah.
Okay. The child, if there was no trespass, the child couldn't become bar mitzvahed. Because God, I mean, if there was no possibility of trespassing, this is hard to think about. If there was no sin offering, then we'd just be just like any other religion. If there was no trespass offering as a distinction, then the child could not grow into the young man. Because the child is supposed to trespass, so he finds out his boundaries.
Otherwise, they're just being.
Otherwise, he's a robot.
Otherwise, when you came to believe, you'd immediately beam up like in Star Trek. Or
right.
Just
right.
Be gone. There would be no test, and that's not exactly what God.
I always wondered that. Why, if when you were walking through and somebody told you the four spiritual laws, how come you didn't
beam up?
Because you were dying.
Okay, but do you understand now? Do you see why there has to be sin offering and a trespass offering?
No.
I know clearly I'm getting there.
Okay, let me go back again. Let's
give me an example.
Do you remember that perfection means fully tested?
Yeah.
The word, it says, be ye perfect, even as your heavenly Father is perfect. The word perfect is the Greek word teleos. It means fully tested. And back to this ancient little dealy metaphor that I use that nobody likes, but it's the best one I can think of, so come up with a better one. If God came down and told Matt to kick the wall and you knew it was God telling you, then you'd go and kick the wall. Yeah, but God's got 40 million angels, billion angels, and he could create all the stones to be angels instantly that could kick the wall a whole lot better than you can. God wants Matt to kick the wall without God telling Matt to kick the wall.
Right, be the God will of God rather than do it.
Right.
Yeah.
The only way that can happen is to test all of the boundaries through trespass.
Trespass, I mean, what is trespass, though?
Trespass means not doing something that isn't perfect. You have to do everything that isn't perfect so you know that which isn't is perfect. You can't know good until you experientially know evil. You're supposed to trespass.
It's like learning which stimulus to respond to kind of thing. You try little stuff and this is not the right stimulus. You know, leaning on your own arm of understanding is not the right stimulus.
Right. I mean, that's all you've done. You've run around all your life, and you've trespassed. And you feel guilty about it. Well, you're not supposed to feel guilty about trespassing. You're built to trespass. Trespass is the way that God sees that you test the boundaries so that you can enter into the young man position, so that you can be under the law.
Is it like the sin offering is experienced once by recognizing your identity? The trespass offering, Christ's trespass offering, is experienced by us
daily.
As we go through our lives because of every time the trespasses come up in front of us, then we see the Christ's trespass offering, which you don't have any, you know, it's like the sin offering.
It has nothing to do with the sin offering.
Okay, what was the trespass offering?
Well, I mean, they're.
Well, there's a whole bunch of stuff.
They're linked.
There's all kinds of trespasses.
There must be something significant in what the things that they were meant something.
It doesn't matter for this point. Believe me, trust me.
I'll trust you.
I want you to get this critical point. This is why most of you have had so much trouble in your walk as a believer.
I like where he says it had.
It's gone. You don't have trouble anymore. Once you apprehend the difference between the sin offering and the trespass offering, it'll permit you to abandon yourself.
Amen.
Because I am getting bored with you, and God's getting bored with you. I'm getting bored with, oh, I think this, or I think that, or this is troubling me, or this isn't troubling me. I don't care anymore what's troubling you or not troubling you. And God doesn't care anymore what's troubling you or not troubling you. God wants you to apprehend what I'm talking about. I mean, I haven't. It's time. It's time we've gone. It's time we enter the young man position where we overcome this evil one. This trickster that's been telling us that sin and trespass are the same thing. Now I've put you on a trip for that. Good. As long as I can put you on a trip, then you're still a little kid.
There's something interesting here.
Now this is what Leviticus 4, 1 through 5, 13 says.
Don't do that. I'll throw this at you then.
Did you get that out of it, Rick?
No, I didn't. Nobody can get that out of that. It's so ludicrous.
Well, let me ask you this. Let me ask you this. Do any of you have a sense deep within you that what I'm saying is true?
Yes.
Why?
Because God.
It's got to be better than what I've been thinking.
It's true. That's why.
Because I think the problems are stupid, too. I feel that, you know. It's like, why am I having these? Why do I think them?
You're having them for one reason. The reason is simple. It's because the sin offering and the burn and the trespass offering had to be burned outside the camp.
Was that in 4, between 4 and 5:13?
Yes.
And it had to be the head, the body, the dung, the appurtenances, the innards, and they were carried outside the camp, and they were burned in a clear place that was well defined, that was so that it could not touch the altar of God, except for one thing on there. The one thing, and that could be touched, the altar of God, is the fat that was the fat in the sacrifice was taken out, cut out, and put on the altar. Why the fat?
The self-seeking is offered to God.
I'll let you think about that one for a while.
Oh, come on.
But part of the essence was burned as the sweet savor, even in the sin offering, because it revealed that Christ was in it. For the sin offering, the animal had to be more perfect than any other offering. And yet it was burned outside the camp. It was not burned as a sin offering. It became in itself sin. But something of it was kept and burned as a sweet savor unto God to indicate that the offering was perfect. Now, let's go to 2 Corinthians. You understand what I'm saying? That's why Jesus set up these little rules. It sounds like little rules that you do. If you have aught against your brother, it's a trespass. And you take care of it outside the camp. If you have out against your wife, it's a trespass, and you take care of it outside the camp. What's to be in camp, in body, at the altar, is presenting ourselves as the sweet savor. That's why the Shema is read. That's why it says, now hear with understanding. Cast all your burdens on him. If you can't hear, you have to leave. Because the trespass offering cannot partake of the burnt offering and the peace offering and the meat offering.
And you're forced into an either-or position because you have to decide which is more important, holding onto the shit or being part of the body.
Do you understand a little bit the mystery of the offerings?
That's the first that's made any reason for even even studying them. I've never...
The question I have, though, is about when these problems arise and that there could be the cutting off. Sometimes it feels like Raka. I mean, it's
supposed to feel like Raka because you're unclean. And the only way you get clean is to be cleansed in the blood. You are rocked. You're rocked until you repent to return to the camp. In fact, you're going to get rocked a whole lot worse than you ever dreamed about getting rocked from now on, because now you understand it.
What's rocked?
It's not rocked. It's called you're unclean.
Calling your brother up.
You're unclean. It rocked. That's not what it means. No. We've opted. It's become a cliche. It's, you're taking your brother lightly. Well, I'm going to take you so lightly, it'll be as though you didn't exist if you try to come in here unclean. Because now you know what it means. You've touched the unclean thing.
Yeah.
There's no excuse. You're without excuse. There's no cloak for your sin. Had I not come and spoken, Christ said, had I not come and spoken unto them, they had had no cloak for their sin. They, you know, your little trips are not going to be justifiable any longer, because now you know what it means.
Like all of our activity outside be directed to the point of
making sure you can come into the camp. That was the thing Israel lived for. To be in front of the altar was the purpose of Israel.
They didn't come in to bitch about things.
They couldn't get in. They couldn't get in. Now, again, the trespass and sin offering, it was dealt with outside the camp. But the offerer came as a convicted sinner to receive his judgment. The offerer came as a convicted sinner to receive his judgment. He laid his hand on the animal. And then the animal was killed in his stead. When they repented in sackcloth and ashes, the sackcloth was made of that animal's hair that they'd laid their hands on. It wasn't some piece of burlap. And they repented because they recognized the sackcloth was, they became as the sacrificial animal. The ashes they put on them recognized that they must needs be burnt in the fire. Not some little dumb thing. The Hindus took it and they put some little thingy in the middle of their forehead to indicate the third eye out of dust and ashes. You can only deal with the trespass when you come to your brother as the convicted one and you're outside the camp. It's not that you're supposed to be outside the camp or you should be outside the camp. It's that you are outside the camp. Now let's go to Matthew and understand what Jesus said in a new light. Matthew 7. Am I communicating at all?
Yes. Yeah.
Amen.
What happens if you get caught coming in unclean? What are they? Is that serious?
You're killed.
You knew you were unclean.
You were killed. You were killed dead. Forever.
It's pretty serious. Forever. Remember that.
Huh?
Son
and half.
You were just asking that for yourself.
I want you to think of the implications of what I've just said. The reason sin has been dealt with, it's gone forever. Trespass, but you're supposed to trespass. I want you to think about it. Think about the purpose of trespass. Think about the purpose of the sin offering. See it in their two distinctions. See that the sin and trespass offering could never be offered, was always consumed outside the camp. Let's go to Matthew 6.
Is this actually a remedial trespass offering?
Yes. After this manner, therefore, pray ye, Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Now, the reason that's so important, in earth as it is in heaven, is that from the vision of what Moses saw, the heavenly tabernacle, from what Ezekiel saw, the heavenly tabernacle, from what John the Revelator saw as the heavenly tabernacle, there's an order of function within the heavenly tabernacle. And the process of our life must conform to that heavenly tabernacle. Otherwise we can't see. We won't, it's everything will be in a parable. Everything will be a mystery. Now we can begin to see what's taking place. And so in that seeing it, then it shall be done in earth as it is in heaven. Okay? In this earthen vessel.
Some of these things that you've said for 10 years, it's like just hearing it. It just brings something, I don't know what's happening.
Good.
You're trying to
real.
Talk?
I'm trying to talk. I should just keep my mouth shut.
Give us this day and as all of you know from when we study it, give us this day tomorrow's bread. Tomorrow's bread is the bread of life, the bread that we, okay?
Outside of time
bread. Right, outside of time bread. And forgive us our trespasses, and the debts is a terrible translation. Forgive us our trespasses. We've been forgiven. The sin offering has been dealt with.
Okay, our trespasses are things we do.
Right, things
our
we
do.
Forgive us our duties. Remember the trespass offering. This is remedial trespass. The trespass offerings that are listed in Leviticus 5 cover two things. It's trespasses against God and trespasses against man. Just as the Ten Commandments. On one table it was the trespasses against God, and the other table it was the trespasses against men. Just like the Lord's Prayer, the first part of it is against God, the next part of it is against men. The sin offering covers the sin against God. And that sin against God has a penalty, and it's called the cross, and it's death. There's no, they can't get out of it. Because sin isn't what you do, it's what you are. It's, you're dead. That's the cross. You're gone. History. You're a new creation. Now the trespass offerings are the trespasses that you're designed to trespass are the instruments that take place to cause the perfection to come into being.
Okay, that's why when you're walking through your life, you don't say, do something. Larry was talking about putting a trip on somebody. You don't say at that point, "Oh, Father, please exchange my identity with yours," because that's already happened.
It's already happened.
I mean, you just don't do that.
That's like praying for the railroad ties to open.
I mean, the same idea. I mean, that's something you can be exhorted to remember or have,
Right.
But what you do say is, you see that the trespass offering meets that point in time where you are and covers that.
Now, listen to what it says. Forgive us our trespasses as, or in the same manner as we forgive our those that trespass against us.
Okay, I have a question. The sin offering was already taken care of.
And so is the trespass off.
Okay. The cross also? The
cross also. Everything was taken care of by the one offering. Everything is perfected. We just have to see it. And we see it, we distinctly see it. We chop up Jesus. That's what we're doing tonight. Okay, listen. Forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. That's the trespass. Now we're in the realm of the trespass offering. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen. Now, for if you forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you forgive not men their trespasses, neither will your heavenly Father forgive your trespasses. Why? Because you can't get back in the camp. It's as simple as that. That's the reason. You're unclean. And God only deals with you at Mount Moriah, in the one altar, in the camp, in the New Jerusalem, in the heavenly reality. You can't get back in there if you're holding anything against anybody because it's unforgiving. Therefore, the trespass offering needs to be burned outside the camp. You need to see that it's been done. You need to appropriate it, apprehend it in your mind, and then run back to the camp.
I've been holding a lot of stuff against my brother, Neil. I keep trying to talk myself into thinking, well, it'll just disappear, things I'm holding against.
I can tell you tonight, and this is the only thing, Paul said constantly to follow him as an example, in faith and in other things. You can follow my example in faith, and you can follow my example in one other thing. There is not one person in the world that I have a trespass against. There's not one person that I could conceive of that I hold anything against that has any hold over me, therefore.
That's freedom.
That's freedom.
Okay, here's where I'm getting screwed up. I can see.
When I think trespass, I'm still thinking of trespass against God, as in if I do something spiritually wrong. If I take a stand, that's trespass against God.
Well, it's both. It's trespass against man and God. Because you've made the cross of an effect, and you're robbing your brother.
Yeah, usually it's directed towards somebody or, you know, something.
Yeah.
You don't just take a stand about some esoteric kind of thing that has no relation to anybody or anything, you know.
You want a tree in the sun. I don't like you, tree. Yeah.
Well, how are we robbing somebody when we do that?
Because you're keeping them outside the camp, too. Well, when you haven't resolved the trespass, both of you are outside the camp.
Larry was talking about that. Is it because in most cases somebody will respond to that, you know, and it becomes a chain reaction where people are...
Well, it's psychic. You don't have to worry about it being... You don't have to ever come to your conscious mind. It's a psychic tie. It's spiritual. The law is always spiritual, and you're always tied.
I see why God created the order of, you know, two people go and work somebody out, and they take somebody with them to work it out, and then they finally bring it for the church. It's not for the purpose of solving the things, but it's for the purpose of
accepting the trespass offer.
Who will not let go of what he's doing with this other person, the other person to find a way back in.
Amen.
It has nothing to do with solving the problem.
You're right. Never, never, never. God could care less about resolution of a problem. God cares about apprehension of the sacrifice.
Yes, if anything can be done to bring them back into the camp, you know, that's the main thing, right?
Let me repeat that again. That's worthy of repeating again. God never, ever, ever, ever cares about resolving a situation or a problem. He cares about apprehending the sacrifice.
Yeah. What is the difference between trespass? Is it something I do against somebody or against God?
They're both. That's what the... Remember, trespass offering, you guys got to go listen to the tape again. But, concluded both that which he willfully did and which he was done in ignorance. And it did that which was done against man in ignorance or willfully, and that which was done against God willfully or in ignorance.
What is it about the part where it says forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us? What is it about that that's different than the way I've heard it all these years?
Well, I don't know how you've heard it all these years, so how can I answer? Well, that's a moot point. How can I possibly answer what you've heard all these
years? Somebody said something about how...
Let me tell you about this. Let me tell you about this stuff. Everything I've told you tonight, it's like a fragile egg. You try to grab it, and you'll break it. And it'll leave your understanding. You wait on the Lord, and it'll apprehend you.
Amen.
Okay, you can
You're
say
dismissed.
That.
Sit down and shut up.
But then you said something earlier about everybody understanding this.
Well, there was a moment when I hoped that everybody did.
It's funny, because, Ole, you always tell us, you know, we don't have to worry about this, we don't have to do this, we don't have to do that, but when we see you not worrying about something, and not pressing an issue and trying to resolve it yourself to go, wait a minute. I mean, what you say to us, you know, applies to you as well. You know what I'm... Does anybody know what I'm talking about? Like when he tells Tom to sit on something, wait a minute, didn't you just contradict yourself? He said, well, it was just a moment in which I spoke how I felt, and it's gone now.
Amen. Let me just remind you of one thing that we studied before. In trespass offerings, in the sin offering, there's no mention of acts, and you doing anything. I mean, if you read that with understanding about sin, there's no enumeration of sins. In the trespass offering, there's an enumeration of trespasses. Okay? Now, in the sin offering, we see the wages of sin is death. And that's it. Period. God's justice is satisfied. That's to God. Do you understand? I mean, you have to see that.
That's
okay.
Wild. People don't think they're dead. They don't think that God killed them for what they were, but he did.
That's right. That's what happened on the cross. They're dead. by one offering, it says, the love of Christ constraineth us, for we thus judge. For if one died for all, then we are all dead. The human race is dead. Okay. Now, in the trespass offering, we see the same thing, but we see more. The value of the trespass is restored plus a penalty of 20%. You remember that?
Yeah.
Now, this is important.
Wait, what?
The value of the trespass is restored. If I stole $20 from you, then I'd have to give you the $20 back plus a 20% penalty. Now, the satisfaction for each of these trespasses differed. If the party simply died, as in the sin offering, for his trespasses, the injured party would still be the loser. You understand? If the party died, as in the sin offering, for the trespass, the injured party would still be the loser. If I stole $100 from you and they killed me for it, then you'd still be a loser.
So I had $100 in a dead body.
Okay.
But you can't touch.
There must be both judgment and restitution, or there is no justice from God's standpoint. There must be both judgment and restitution for the trespass. Now, the amount of the injury, according to the priest's valuation, is paid in shekels of the sanctuary to the injured person. God was injured by the trespasses, in both holy things, in worship, in obedience, in honor, in service, in prayer, in praying to the wrong God, and all the things that we've talked about. All those are trespasses. God, through man, was therefore the loser. God lost in the first Adam, and God was repaid and much more in the second Adam, the last Adam. Okay? Man lost also in the trespass. He lost life, peace, joy. But in Christ he receives far more, much more. That's what Romans 5, the much more chapter, is about. God in Christ, then, God is no longer the loser in the trespasses. And man is no longer loser in the trespass. Because you receive, the judgment is paid, plus much more. So therefore, in the trespass among us, where it's tested, that's why you glory in the tribulation.
Yeah.
I've only said that 5,000 times.
Yeah, but I like the way you put it. Blessing on Rabbi Ohm.
Whoa.
Now, therefore, it's you can rejoice when someone trespasses against you, because in Christ, you understand why. You don't even have to worry about your own trespasses, because in Christ, they had to be there, so that life is tested, so that you can go from being the adolescent to the young man. Without trespass, there's no testing.
Where do the emotions of like anger and that kind of thing fit into that? Is that a trespass?
Well, all anger is it shows you something you haven't given up yet. Mm-hmm. Shows you where you're living in a lie.
I'm trying to see where my psychology teacher fits in.
She's definitely crossing me off.
I can't get over how sometimes, you know, I come here and I'll be away from here and I'll think there's nothing, you know, it's like my appetite can't be stimulated. I can't even get into it. And then, like, tonight go on and it's just, I'm flooded over with things. It seems like I could be continually in it.
Is this correct that sin has only to do with God? I mean, to say someone sins against his brother is a totally erroneous thing.
Of course.
I mean, it's just, it it's a mistrespass, it's not possible.
Yeah. You can only sin against God. That's what David said in the Psalm, Psalm 51. Against thee and thee only have I sinned.
Everybody being blue and someone's like someone else. I don't like
everything else is trespass.
Trespass you can be against God and man.
And man. Now, there are fewer grades in the trespass offering, as we said, than in any other offering. Because it's far easier to see trespasses than it is sin. And if it's seen, you have to be able to see it. The two aspects of the offering are trespasses against God and trespasses against man. Well, all you have to know tonight is by one offering he hath perfected forever them that are sanctified. Yeah. That you can't concern yourself even with a trespass that you do except to acknowledge it, see that it's been atoned for, and rest. And then return to the camp. When you trespass against God or your brother, there has been not only has restitution been made, but a 20% more has been already made. I mean, it's in your account. It's dealt with before you've even done anything wrong.
Yeah.
It's a 1/5, right?
Huh? No, what'd I say?
You said 20%.
20%.
Yeah,
1/5.
He didn't know that last time.
Yep. So like Paul's talking about a lot of times when he's talking about sin, he's talking
about trespass. Yeah, it's so confused in the translations that they've missed the point. You know, I could go through and correct all of them, but I wouldn't have the guts to do that yet.
Except in the Greek, it go either way.
Oh, yeah, it's just screwed up. And plus, you can't trust it because some of it's in our, you know,
they're
just not consistent.
So,
because people that wrote it didn't know this stuff.
Especially I was thinking about the where it says, seeing all this, should I go out and trespass more against people? So grace will abound. I can see how somebody might think that from what you just talked about. Like, hey, it's a gain to everybody. You know, maybe I ought to, you know, crank up the old trespass wheel or something and keep churning out
that push. That's being poured out for your brother.
Yeah.
No, the problem with that is that when you see that your trespass might be keeping somebody outside the camp, which is what.
Now the biggie thing that comes into being here now is what's the relationship with leaven to all of this?
Wow.
Yeah.
There isn't one.
That's
a whole other subject.
We already talked about leaven before.
We are ready for
okay, now, leaven. Okay, so
now the leaven in this context is that no leaven is allowed on these with regard to these offerings, and the reason is, and that's why God defined the leaven, and the leaven of the Pharisees is hypocrisy, not saying what's there. The leaven of Herod is seeing lack, and the leaven of the Sadducees is not seeing that God is able, or not seeing the resurrected Christ within you. Now, in the leaven. The most of it at this level where we are now, and hopefully we'll be able to apprehend more of it as we continue, but at the level we are now, the only leaven that you really have to worry about is the leaven of the Pharisees. Because it's that which will keep you from speaking this stuff. It's that which will keep you from apprehending that the trespass offering is burned outside the camp. And you'll do it in all kinds of righteous ways. You'll say, no, I can't do that because that'll hurt their feelings. The moment you do that, you're both outside the camp. Now, besides that, I must tell you, I must confess something, okay? And it's not a confession. I think it was the only way it could have been done. I've been very tolerant for all these years with regard to some of these issues. And that tolerance can't be, it can't be permitted any longer. I mean, if I discern that there is leaven, if I discern that you're unclean, I'm going to kick you out. Now, because you're leaven the whole lump. Now, this is where discernment comes in. And this is where it'll be discerned by the body, because, you know. But anyway, the point here is that it's instantaneous back in. All you have to do is accept the trespass offering.
It's stronger than Shema.
That's real good.
It's kind of like Melinda or something.
Well, it is Shema. See, that's what this was done. This was Shema stuff. But you remember now, there are three levels of anathema, or being cut off. One is, you know, you're cut off for a length of time. One of the next things we study pretty very soon, hopefully, is the ashes of the red heifer and the sprinkling water, which brings another whole. It's like, what's so exciting about this stuff is that you just keep getting more and more neat stuff, and then you all of a sudden you have to go back and, you know, and it's like it goes through all the little things that you thought you knew, and it expands everything you thought you knew.
That's what I feel in here.
Yeah, it's like a whirlwind. Well, it's supposed to be a whirlwind. And again, in the carnal church, i.e. the church of the Antichrist, will always think that the farther you get spiritually, the less trespasses there will be.
But no.
In the bride, the farther you go spiritually, the more trespasses there are. Because
start bailing out. Yeah.
Because you become more. You see more. There's more discernment.
We talked tonight about a couple of reasons for joining in tribulation. That the purpose of the trespass is the testing and the maturation. And I'm thinking about Paul when he was talking about things that I don't want to do, those I do, that the trespasses also are those things that they're like clues along the way to the discovery of sin.
Amen. The discovery of
it's objective, verifiable, observable evidence that I am sin.
Right. The idea that, I mean, it's a revolutionary idea. That's why, in fact, that's why in apprehension, it's first the trespass offering and their grades, and then the sin offering and their grades.
It leads you right to the sin.
Right. Then the peace offering, then the meat offering, then the burnt offering. I mean, when we see that we, with Paul, the burnt offering, that from Christ's standpoint, Christ had to be the perfect burnt offering before he could be the other offerings. But in the order of they were done in the temple, it was first the trespass offering, then the sin offering, then the peace offering, then the meat offering.
In the order of the idea of the law showing, you know, all these areas, you know, there's so many areas to trespass that, you know, you can't take a step. Right. That leads to
shut up in your mouth.
To seeing that you're totally sin and the sin offering. Right. But the thing is, the trespass offering you keep seeing continually, and the sin offering you're always, I mean,
right.
you apprehend it once. And
it's for once and forever.
Just opposite orders don't make so much sense when you've got God who can't mix with evil. But the only way he can see us is through the burnt offering.
Amen.
Down, and the only way we can see him is from the bottom up.
Amen. Okay, now thanks be unto God, which always causes us to triumph in Christ, and make manifest the savor of his knowledge by us in every place, always in every place, all times in every place. We always triumph. We can do nothing else. For we are unto God a sweet savor. Now, when you understand what that means, it'll blow your fucking mind. To be the sweet savor is to say that you are the offering of acceptance, that you're perfectly accepted, and that the one song, I'm perfect from the moment that you see me. For we are unto God a sweet savor of Christ, in them that are saved and in them that perish. To the one we are the savor of death unto death, to the other we are the savor of life unto life. And who is sufficient for these things? But we are always the sweet savor. To God the burning flesh smelled as a sweet savor. To the world there's no stench more nauseous or odious than burning flesh.
That's like when you talked about the fat, then the reason they didn't eat the fat was, for one reason, was it was all reserved for God, for these special sweet savory things.
Right. The reason I didn't talk about it, because this fat can mean, I mean, it's like several things, so we'll get into that. This was...
It's a wonderful night.
Okay. Does everybody have at least a measure of apprehension about the difference between the sin offering and the trespass offering, why it's so neat?
Yeah.
It's going to get neater, folks. Okay, take it, large person.